Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the seven letters to the churches in Asia. Today is our first in a series of programs on the letter written to the church at Pergamos. If you haven't been reading our literature or haven't tuned into the program where we talked about the church at Ephesus and the church at Smyrna, I hope that you'll log on to our website and read our free literature entitled The Three P's of Our Profession. That's where you'll find that discussion. And our website is www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org. And you can listen for that again at the end of our program. Now I'm going to give you some background on the city of Pergamos, because when you understand this background, you'll understand why the risen Christ wrote this letter to the church at Pergamos and used the words that he used. So here's the background. Pergamos was not on any of the great roads as Ephesus and Smyrna were, but its geographical position made Pergamos even more impressive than those two cities, because Pergamos was built on a tall hill which dominated the valley of the river Caicus. And from there, you could see the Mediterranean 15 miles away. That's how impressive this city was. It was built on a hill, and you could see the Mediterranean over the valley 15 miles away. Sir William Ramsay described it this way: "Beyond all other cities in Asia Minor, it gives the traveler the impression of a royal city, the home of authority." So please keep that in mind as we go through this letter to the church at Pergamos. Historically, it was the greatest city in Asia. The reason was that by the time John was writing, Pergamos had been a capital city for almost 400 years. In 282 BC, it was made the capital of the Seleucid Kingdom, one of the sections into which the empire of Alexander the Great was broken up. It remained the capital until 133 BC. In that year, Attalus III died, and before he died, he willed his dominions into the possession of Rome. And out of the dominions of Attalus, Rome formed the province of Asia, and Pergamos still remained its capital. And Pergamos was the administrative center of Asia, which meant that it was the center of Caesar worship. And this is extremely, extremely important in understanding why Jesus wrote the way that he did to the church at Pergamos. It's because Pergamos was the administrative center of Asia, which meant that it was the center of Caesar worship for the province. Undoubtedly, that is why Pergamos was called the place where Satan's seat was. It was the place where men were required, on pain of death by the sword, to take the name of the Lord and give it to Caesar instead of to Christ. And to a Christian, there could be nothing more satanic than that. So we have a couple of things that we see here. First, Pergamos was a royal city, the home of authority. It sat on a hill that was beautiful and afforded a beautiful view. And then historically, it was a great city because it was the capital of the Roman province of Asia. And as the administrative center, it was the center of Caesar worship. And people were required, on the pain of death by the sword, to take the name of the Lord and give it to Caesar instead of to Christ. That's why it was called the place where Satan's seat was. Now, as I've been saying in the previous programs, these letters to the seven churches are an evaluation of how these churches are doing. And there's always five elements in the letters to the seven churches. You'll always see the same pattern that's evolving. And these five elements of evaluation are these. The first element is the qualifications of the supervisor. This means why the Lord has authority to evaluate the church. And then the second element is praise. This means what the Lord is pleased with. The third element is criticism. This is what the Lord is upset about. And then the fourth element is advice. This is how to get back on track. And then the fifth element is the challenge. This is the challenge to the true believers within the group to hold fast to the truths and the way of life that they have learned and to be overcomers so that they can be blessed. So what we're going to cover in today's program is the qualification of the supervisor. In other words, why does the Lord have the authority to evaluate the church at Ephesus? So please turn over to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll start reading in verse 12. This is Revelation chapter 2, and in verse 12. Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, I am the one who has the sharp sword with two edges, and I'm going to say some things to you." In other words, I'm going to give you an evaluation, and I am qualified to give you this evaluation because I am the one that has the sharp sword with two edges. Now, why did he say this to the church at Pergamos, that he was the one that had the sharp sword with two edges? Well, it's because, as I mentioned earlier, in the background to the church at Pergamos, he says that I have the sharp sword with two edges because the people at Pergamos were saying that on pain of death by the sword, you had to take the name of the Lord and give it to Caesar instead of Christ. In other words, we will kill you with the sword if you don't fall in line and give the name of the Lord to Caesar instead of Christ. But Christ is saying, no, wait a minute, they are not the ultimate authority. Yes, they bear the sword and they can bring it down upon your head and cause you death if you don't give the name Lord, the title Lord, to Caesar and bow down and worship him. But I'm saying to you that you need to bow down and worship me because I'm the one who has the sharp sword with two edges, and my sword is much more powerful than their sword. I can do a lot more damage than they can. So you have to make a choice. Will you choose to give my title of Lord to Caesar? And if you do, you're going to die by my sword. Or are you going to say, well, I fear what they're going to do to me, I fear their sword, so I'm going to give the name of the Lord to Caesar? That's the choice you have to make, to die by their sword or to die by my sword. That's why the Lord addressed the letter to Pergamos in the way that he did. And so another way of saying it is that Jesus is the director of the company. We've been talking about, if you are a Christian, there are three P's to your profession. The first P is that we need to preach the gospel. The second P is that we need to prepare disciples to serve the Lord faithfully. And then the third P is that we need to provide for people in need. And so Jesus is writing a letter to the seven churches in Asia and saying, this is my evaluation on how you are doing in your profession. Your profession is to be a professional Christian. This is your job. This is your life. And so Jesus is the director of the company, and he says that I will dare to discipline you. I will keep the company in line no matter what. People will follow me, or else they can hit the road. It's my way or the highway. That's what Jesus says to us. And so we have to take this phrase that it's he who has the sharp sword with two edges and understand that there's really two thoughts conveyed in this phrase. The two-edged sword combines two thoughts. First, it's the Word of God. The Word of God is the Bible, which is likened in Scripture to a two-edged sword. So that's the first thought. But secondly, a two-edged sword is used to fight against the enemy. So the lesson conveyed in these two thoughts is this, that God judges based on His Word, and God will destroy those who commit the unpardonable sin. And the unpardonable sin is going contrary to God's word and never repenting of it. And if a person does not repent of going contrary to God's word, which tells us how to love God with all of our might and all our soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, if people go contrary to God's word and don't repent of it, then God can't forgive a person of that sin. And so that's the unpardonable sin, and the only thing left is death, and that's eternal death. Now we'll see this explained in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 through 34, and then we'll also read verse 41. This is Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 through 34 and then verse 41. Here it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels are with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be assembled in front of him, and he will separate them from each other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right," which is obviously the sheep, "Come, you who have been blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then in verse 41 it says, "Then he will say to those on the left," obviously the goats, "Get away from me, you who are accursed, into the eternal lake of fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels." And this lake of fire is the second death. This is the death from which there can be no resurrection, as it says in Revelation chapter 20. And so we see here the combination of these two thoughts, of God is the one who carries the sharp sword with two edges. First, the word of God is likened until a sharp two-edged sword. And then secondly, a sword is used against God's enemies. So he judges people based on the word. If they live by faith, then they will be the sheep and they will inherit eternal life. If they live contrary to God's word and are just hard-headed, stubborn, recalcitrant, they refuse to repent. They commit the unpardonable sin because they have set their will against God Almighty, and no power, not even the power of the Holy Spirit, can change them. Then God says that I will bring the sharp two-edged sword against you, and I will cast you into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now these may sound like harsh words, but the director dares to discipline because sometimes that's exactly what we need, because the pressures that Satan can bring upon us can cause us to wither if we are not strong. And so God wants to make us strong by giving us some strong medicine. So in our next program, we're going to see what the Lord is pleased with. This is why Jesus has the authority to evaluate the church, because he will dare to discipline the church. But also Jesus will give us encouragement, because a lot of times we need encouragement. And in the next program, that's what we're going to see, is what the Lord is pleased with. Thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.